Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. You're home for the Junks Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 10 to noon. I'm AWOD. We are 12 to 3 before Grant and Danny drive you home. And today's theme of the show today is college football playoffs, college basketball, the challenges like the ACC versus the SEC. We've got a special guest, VCU men's basketball coach Phil Martelli Jr. joins us for AWOD and the coach. It is the first Wednesday of the month of December and the first Wednesday of every month during basketball season. We are joined by the coach to get the latest news and notes on VCU men's basketball here on The Fan, Richmond's home for the Rams, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, game Friday against Samford. But you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K, this one.
The sports app.
So last night we saw the fifth round of rankings for the college football playoff. It just has added so much excitement with 12 teams getting into the field now. You know, I grew up in the BCS era, and then, you know, you had the era where it was four teams making it in. With 12 teams, it just gets so much more exciting. And JMU was announced in the top 25 at number 25. North Texas at 24. And Tulane at 20. So the two American teams they'll meet in the championship were ranked ahead of James Madison. Does that mean that even with a win in the Sun Belt, they will be left out? Virginia came in at number 17. Doesn't really matter. A win over Duke, and they are guaranteed to be represented in the 12-team college football playoffs. Based on these rankings currently, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, and Texas Tech would all receive first-round byes. I just wonder how high Alabama can climb with a win over Georgia and how far Texas Tech would fall if they lose the Big 12 championship to BYU. Feinbaum with the latest on Miami and Notre Dame. Every week we've had an eye on those two schools because they have the same record and same losses. Miami, though, has the head-to-head win on Notre Dame. And again, they will rank two spots behind the Fighting Irish. Here is Feinbaum. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, Heather said middle school math. That's pretty easy to figure out as well, Greeny. They played each other. I'm well aware, as the audience is, they played at the end of August. But it doesn't really matter because they played. And I don't know how else you could break a tiebreaker than putting the two combatants on the same field and having one prevail. But apparently to Mr. Hunter Yurecek yesterday, they can still move while they're not doing anything. That doesn't make any sense to me. Miami should be in. Notre Dame should not be if it comes down to those two.
Yes,
I completely agree.
They are remembering.
And the other thing is, Miami is in a conference. Notre Dame is not. I, 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 I've I'm freaking out by this because it doesn't make sense to me. Is it supposed to be the P4 and the G5 and an independent school? Is an independent school guaranteed to get in? No. So why is Notre Dame in? Because of their brand? I think the committee is setting it up to take Notre Dame out if the chips fall correctly in championship weekend. Here's Heather Dinch on if the ACC gets eliminated with a Duke win. Let's take a listen.
Greeny, this is a big deal because the ACC could be left out of the playoff entirely if five-loss Duke gets in. Because when JMU snuck into the rankings for the first time last night at number 25, that validated this possibility. Because Duke lost to UConn. Duke lost to Tulane. JMU actually has a better strength of record. But here's the thing. I would push back on Duke being eliminated entirely because what if JMU loses to Troy in the Sun Belt? Could they consider Boise State, UNLV as that second conference champion? Absolutely. But if Duke wins, they would have a top 20 win. They would have 7 wins against Power 4 opponents. And there's not a group of 5 champions sitting out there that could compete with
that. That's actually a great point by Heather, and it does, to me, makes sense for Duke to get in because I just don't think we're going to live in a world in which the ACC champion is held out. Again, this already happened with Florida State. Let's move over to the NFL on the sports app. Thursday night football to begin the next week in the NFL season. Tomorrow night on Amazon Prime, we've got a 3-star matchup. The Cowboys and the Lions, both are currently on the outside of the postseason looking in. Yes, the 15-win Detroit Lions from last year are not in line to make the playoffs because the Packers and the Bears ahead of them in their own division. And for the Cowboys, they are still chasing the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a 3-star matchup for all the marbles Thursday night, tomorrow on Amazon Prime. Mike Tomlin spoke to the media after yet another loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you know, he agrees with the fans. Head coach Mike Tomlin of the Steelers agrees with the fans that are booing him and his team. Let's take a listen.
In general, I agree with them. From this perspective, football is our game. We're in the sport entertainment business. And so if you root for the Steelers, entertaining them is winning. And so when you're not winning, it's not entertaining. And if you've been in this business, you understand that. And so I respect it. I share frustrations. I understand what makes this thing go.
It is working towards one of the weirdest divorces in football. Because as Michael said on his show, and I agree, I think most NFL owners would take Mike Tomlin over their current head coach. And yet in Pittsburgh, it feels like the entire fan base is finished with Mike Tomlin. We'll see if he can finish the fight this season and get back into the postseason with Aaron Rodgers. Steelers Ravens, big game this weekend. Washington's at the Minnesota Vikings. Can they win this game once again without Jaden Daniels? If they play with the same effort on the defensive side of the ball that they did against the Broncos, they will absolutely have a chance. Let's move over to the NHL on the sports app. Caps Kings. Every day on the sports app, we track Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. Ovi, the Russian machine who never breaks, the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL, had a goal streak earlier this season. Well, he had a pair of assists in the Capitals game last night as it was Tom Wilson getting the Caps on the board in the first period.
This may not result in a goal, but it has certainly looked good. Still 55 seconds left. Leonard and Fundy score! And it's Wilson again! His team leading 6th power play goal of the season. Putting it past Kemper, it's 1-0 Washington!
Kings would even the scoring in the second period, and then 2 more goals for the Caps in the third, and they get a 3-1 win over the Kings. Let's take a listen to the final call.
Out in front, McMichael going to clear it out and toward the empty net. It'll fall just short, but as the Kings come back to play it, that is going to do it here in Los Angeles. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, L.A. The Capitals finish it off with an Anthony Beauvillier game-winning goal. Final score, Capitals 3 and the Kings 1.
And the Capitals will be back on the ice tonight. Two games in a row for the Washington Capitals. Let's move over to the NBA on the sports app. The breaking news and big story, the Clippers sending home future Hall of Fame point guard Chris Paul in a bizarre move. They severed ties with Paul, so the Clippers send him home. He's going to try to find a new team, as he already announced. This would be his final season in the NBA. I'm a longtime Chris Paul fan. Back to his days in college at Wake Forest. I want him to get a title. So, Oklahoma, bring Chris home. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Let's quickly move over to college hoops here on the Sports app. Big win for the Hokies. And if you're a VCU fan, you're now following the Hokies, because every win for Virginia Tech makes Ram Nation look better. ACC-SEC challenge went a lot better for the ACC this season. Virginia Tech wins their challenge against South Carolina. Duke takes down Florida in the thriller of the ACC-SEC challenge last night. It was Duke 67, Florida 66. UConn took down Kansas in a top 25 matchup, 61-56, and North Carolina defeated Kentucky, as the ACC had a much better showing this year. They won that one 67-64, and you got to give a shout out to the Syracuse Orangemen. You know, Coach Autry had a couple of good losses this season already, battling with Houston and losing late. They finally got their first big win over 13th-ranked Tennessee, 62-60. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, set your alarm. Make sure you're tuned in at 2 p.m. for AWOD and the coach, Phil Martelli Jr., will join us today on AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. They will be in Minnesota this weekend taking on the Vikings. Dan Quinn is set to speak with the media in about 15 minutes. We're going to air a little bit of that later today on AWOD Radio. We'll be joined by Dave Johnson for a Wizards Wednesday play-by-play voice of the Wizards. Bill Roth for the Cowan Gates Hokies update. And at 2 p.m., AWOD and the coach, Phil Martelli Jr. Right now, Michael Phillips is with us for a segment we call Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on the Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on the Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, is it true that you paid off a bet this morning?
I did. I got Jeremy a breakfast sandwich from our Chiefs-Colts bet of a few weeks ago.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I got him the Wendy's sausage, egg, and cheese.
Oh, I haven't had the Wendy's breakfast sandwich. How was it?
It's good. Delicious. It's hard to go wrong with the sausage, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
I just love breakfast across the board. Yeah, I think breakfast food is the best.
Well, I don't think I agree with you at all in terms of the best. I would take a steak and cheese sandwich over a breakfast sandwich.
But steak and eggs is the pinnacle of steak, so we're right back.
I don't think I like steak and eggs as much as a steak and cheese.
Ooh, like a cheesesteak?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, a cheesesteak is good, but if you put eggs on it, it'd be better.
Maybe. I don't know. I know it would be with bacon.
Wawa does a breakfast cheesesteak.
Really?
It hits. It does.
I haven't gone to Wawa for breakfast in a while.
Well, I know a guy you can go with. He goes every day.
I've heard that guy. He goes by the Big Fajita. You can hear him on 1140.
That's right.
All right, so we got Michael Phillips here for a little crosstalk. I have enjoyed this bit. Every Wednesday at 12:15, we react to how dumb the committee is.
So dumb.
Yeah. Now, our argument has started with JMU, and it's kind of evolved into the ACC and their spot as well. But we'll start with the JMU Dukes. Did you like seeing them in the top 25?
No, because I saw North Texas right above them at 24. I would have rather they both be off, kind of the mystery box. It kept my hope alive of, like, North Texas wins, JMU wins, and JMU jumps them. That is obviously harder to do when you put it on paper.
So do you still believe that they can grow their resume to be good enough to be in the 12-team college football playoffs?
I'm extremely skeptical that they can get in without a Duke victory. Duke here. They are 24-point favorites over Troy. Even if you beat them by 30, it's hard to sell that as a statement win.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's difficult, and Jeremy, tell me if I'm wrong here. North Texas played Washington State, won by a lot.
Yeah.
JMU kind of snuck by.
I just don't think it's going to be justifiable to jump them next week now that it's written down on paper.
Yeah, and the problem is, you better not be rooting for the Blue Devils against my UVA Hoos here.
I'm rooting for the Blue Devils against your UVA Hoos.
My UVA Hoos. I love the name two players on UVA Challenge.
No, I have really come to love Chandler Morris and what he's brought to UVA. And there was a report today that they're exploring the possibility of getting him another year of eligibility, a la Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt.
I'm excited to see how Pavia gets his 19th season of eligibility this year. There are no rules anymore. A 22-year-old freshman in basketball, seventh year guy. Diego Pavia's thing, and Adam, this is absolutely insane. His case was, my time at a junior college shouldn't have counted. In what world is that not college football?
Right.
What are we doing here? Like, well, that's not college football because it was at a junior college. Next, are we going to have, like, a guy transfer from JMU to Ohio State? Be like, well, that doesn't count. That was at a group of five school. Obviously, I should have four New Year's. Like, what are we doing here?
It's the wild, wild west. You're also allowing people to go make money in Europe and then come over here to the States. The Pavia thing, the only part of it that I understand him on his side is you can't make NIL money at JUCO. And at Vanderbilt, you can, especially when you become as big of a name as he is. The situation with Pavia is there's almost no chance in hell that he ends up starting an NFL game. Yeah. I don't think he's good enough.
No,
so he might as well make his life savings here in college.
I don't disagree with all of that except for the part where, like, because he didn't get NIL, he should be allowed an extra year. Help me understand that part. Like, you didn't get NIL, like, you went to college. You played football. That's college football. Like, a lot of people not getting NIL money, like, they don't get to reset the clock when they get paid.
We are getting closer and closer to a world in which the rules are, there are no rules. If a coach wants you, you can play on the team. They might even have a 48-year-old kicker.
We are dangerously close to no rules. I mean, we're right there on the edge of no rules. It feels like it's coming pretty soon.
Yep. So let's get to the committee's reveal yesterday. And which of the teams in the top 12 could have a chance of being eliminated?
Well, I think Notre Dame is obviously the one you circle. I think if we end up in a situation where the committee has to pick directly between Notre Dame and Miami, it sure feels like they're inching them closer to set up the jump, right? I think they're setting up the, like, well, we evaluated it holistically now, but we sat down, we had to pick between the two of them, and we picked Miami. I think they're the most on notice in this one.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, so we all said, like, if Duke wins, that opens the door for JMU.
Agreed.
If Duke wins and JMU loses...
UNLV Boise State winner? I'm being serious. I think the winner of UNLV Boise State's probably your team in that scenario.
I think they would put Duke in and just say that, look, okay, that's yeah. because...
And that's your ACC team. Yeah.
Well, and because that win over Virginia would now be their best win on their schedule.
But Virginia would fall out of the top 25 with a loss, so Duke would still have no top 25 wins.
No, because it goes to where they ranked when you played them.
Not for Vandy. Vandy, like, oh, Tennessee win... Hunter Yurachek, who you've covered this exhaustively and correctly.
He's the worst speaker ever.
He's the worst. Full stop. Vandy doesn't have a signature win. Well, Vandy beat Tennessee and Missouri, knocking them out of the top 25. It's like, well, Vandy doesn't have a signature win because everybody they've beaten isn't good because they lost to Vandy. Make that make sense.
Right. And I also hate the people that are saying, well, if Texas had just not scheduled Ohio State, would they would be in? Well, no. Well, they would have the same record as Vanderbilt.
They still would have lost to Florida.
Yeah.
Don't lose to Florida.
Yeah.
Like, bad losses sink you. That wasn't... Ohio State is not a bad loss. Nobody is saying, I mean, I'm sure somebody stupid said it. Nobody is saying Texas should be left out because they lost to Ohio State. We are saying Texas should be left out because they lost to Florida, a legitimately bad football team.
Right.
Yeah.
And a football team that's so bad they fired their coach. Like, that has to play into this as well.
It has to. The games have to matter. And they're yelling that, like, the games have to matter. We should still schedule good games. Nobody's saying that. What we're saying is the games have to matter. If you lose to a team like that, that has to matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't get a mulligan. There's no mulligans in this. It's college football.
Except
unless you're Notre Dame last year and you lose to Northern Illinois.
You know, I am team Lane Kiffin in this situation.
I'm not.
I think he got a... raise. He got a better opportunity. He took it. I reward him for the success.
Well, I don't begrudge him going to LSU. He just can't coach his team anymore.
Right. I think Ole Miss, as a front office, should have let him coach the team, just like JMU is allowing Bob Chesney to coach their team. Ole Miss has now kind of backed away from that of, hey, if you leave, you're gone, because Lane Kiffin's offensive coordinator is going to call plays for Ole Miss. And he made sure that the committee knew that as well. Another chapter in the good guy book of Lane Kiffin.
Your continued insistence that the Lane Kiffin situation is the same as the Bob Chesney situation is maybe your most ridiculous take of the year, and it's December 3rd, Adam.
Well, I mean, look, I'm going to continue to say that it is the exact same scenario.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to say it's not.
To get a better job.
Were you hanging out with a raccoon on Saturday night?
Come on.
One guy is getting promoted from the group of five to the power five. The other guy is moving to a rival school in the same conference.
Okay, LSU and Ole Miss are not really rivals when you consider the real rivalry is Alabama.
Well, I understand they're not like rivalry.
So, like, dude, come on now. Ole Miss is the little sister to LSU. They're the ugly redheaded stepchild that will never have this much success again. LSU has a Heisman winner after a Heisman winner after a national championship after another Heisman winner. Ole Miss can't sniff that. Jackson Dart had terrific stats last year. Wasn't really a Heisman front runner. Well, you know why? Because nobody respects Ole Miss football.
I agree with you that Ole Miss will not have success again. I agree with that. It'll be at least a decade. They'll have to rebuild the whole thing. I disagree with you that you can just say, if you're the Ole Miss AD, you can go to the boosters, go to the fans, and say, we'll never be able to compete with LSU. We just have to acknowledge we're not as good as them. What kind of message is that to your fan base?
Well, but JMU just told their fan base, hey, we can't even be in the same conversation as UCLA.
Yes, and that's reasonable.
UCLA football sucks, dude!
No, if you're Matt...
It sucks! They suck at football.
Matt Roan is the athletic director at JMU. He should stand at a podium and say, our aspiration is not to compete with UCLA. Our aspiration is to be the best group of five school. I'd love to be invited to the Big Ten someday. At that point, we'll compete with them. In this structure, we can't compete with them. Bob Chesney handled his business when undefeated in the Sun Belt. Is he going to make the playoffs? Most likely not, it appears. Like, in what world is that the same as UCLA, where you can probably lose three and finesse your way in?
So why is Bob Chesney's head not going to be on a stick when he takes double-digit players with him from JMU, has success at UCLA, and JMU then has a rebuild season.
We deal with this at VCU basketball. Do you put their heads on sticks when they leave? Like, you understand the hierarchy and where you are in the hierarchy. Ole Miss cannot say we are a second-tier SEC team. That just doesn't fly with that.
Vanderbilt says that.
Vanderbilt's come on the come up right now, right? If Clark Lee had left for LSU, similar situation there, right? You can't, you're trying to aspire to be a big boy. You can't all of a sudden be like, well, we acknowledge we're not as good as those schools. You can't do it, not in the same conference.
No, but I just think that if JMU is going to allow their coach to attempt to win a national championship, mm-hmm. knowing he's out the door, then Ole Miss should have allowed their coach to attempt to win a championship knowing he's out the door.
And I will once again say they are not even remotely the same situation. I think everybody listening understands they're not even remotely the same situation. 833-804-0910.
I think a lot of people are just jumping on the bandwagon of hating Lane Kiffin because it's the easy thing to do.
Well, it's very easy. He left his team for I don't begrudge him switching schools, but you got to know what's going to happen as a result. He is within his rights to do that. And also, as soon as you make that decision, you're done there.
Is this the biggest game in the history of JMU football?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, and your coach is going to leave.
I think the
come on now. It's the biggest game in Ole Miss football in the playoffs.
I think that's an interesting one. Is this the biggest, or is it one of the 1AA Nats?
No. FCS?
Yeah.
Championship?
Yeah.
Come on now.
A national championship's a national championship. It's on the stadium.
Hey, I want you to look into the money that they're giving for the CFP teams. I want you to look into that.
Well, I will say this. If they were truly win and in, it would 100% be the biggest game in JMU. The only thing moderating this is that we do see two American teams ahead of them. They're the biggest game in JMU history might be the ACC championship game this year. Like if you're a JMU fan, you might be better off driving to Charlotte and painting your face blue than going to Harrisonburg on Friday night. That's the one that is more determinative here.
Yeah, and yet I don't see many JMU fans hating Bob Chesney.
No, because he got a better opportunity. You grew him into what he is. You celebrate his success. Same at VCU. It stung the first time with Shaka. Nobody hated on Ryan Odom for leaving. Let him finish the season. We knew that was a done deal, obviously, before we went to the tournament in Denver. You let him finish what he started. You applaud him on the way out when he comes back. I hope he gets a nice round of applause, and then we ride his butt for 40 minutes up and down the court.
Yep, and I congratulate Lane Kiffin on his success, and best of luck at LSU.
You cannot say that if you're Ole Miss. You cannot, if you're the Ole Miss athletic director, go to the boosters who give you millions of dollars a year and say, thank you for your millions of dollars. We will aspire to finish 10th in the SEC next year.
Well, that's not what you would be saying.
You're saying we can never compete with LSU, Alabama,
Georgia. I'm saying this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with this coaching staff and this team.
I'm just saying he's going to be there the next morning whether they win or lose, and he's still got to run a university. You cannot run a university that concedes itself to be second tier in a conference. You can't do it.
Yeah, I think it's a very similar situation to all the other coaches that are leaving around the country that are not finishing the season.
I don't think we've made a lot of progress during today's crosstalk. No,
I don't think so either. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Do it again tomorrow.
That sounds good. That'll be 12:15 on AWOD Radio. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina DeAnna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on a Wednesday, December 3rd, coming to you live and local here in Richmond, Virginia. AWOD and the coach today at 2 p.m. went over to the Basketball Development Center to interview head coach of ECU Men's Basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. AWOD and the coach coming up today at 2 p.m. We'll be joined by Bill Roth for the Cowan Gates Hokies update at 1:30, but it's a Wednesday on AWOD Radio, which means it's a Wizards Wednesday.
It's a Wizards Wednesday on AWOD Radio.
Keeps away from Isaac George. Foul line to the basket. Pocket pass. Sarr stopped to Wiggins. Alan Sarr.
Tune in as Dave Johnson, play-by-play voice of the Washington Wizards, joins AWOD at 12:30.
Left wing for three. Oh, it's there! It's there!
For a Wizards Wednesday on the Fan.
Dave, what's up, man?
Well, we're back from Philadelphia. It didn't go so well. Didn't go so well last night, but Monday was a nice signature win on this young season over the Bucks, and it was another reminder why we drafted Bilal Coulibaly now a couple years ago, because he has got the potential to be an elite defender in the NBA, and he really made life tough on a guy named Giannis on Monday. And, of course, I had like a dream moment, and I think a lot of Wizards fans did. The ball goes to Giannis, and Bilal steals it before it gets to him. I should say it never reached him. He goes down court, slams it, and seals the door on the Wizards' win. And the dream is, you know, one day maybe that will be a win that leads us to the playoffs. And you can see this one day with these young players that might happen, because we're already seeing. We're continuing to unwrap the package, if you will, Bilal Coulibaly, he missed time, missed training camp because of that thumb injury he suffered in European competition this summer. But he's just get going, and he takes on the toughest defensive assignment every night. And let's just watch him grow, and that's been fun.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch Bilal and also Keyshawn George this season for the Wizards. Just felt like, you know, yesterday the third quarter got away from them. What'd you see there?
Yeah, you know, and as people listen to this, you know, what's the old phrase in sports? We say no excuses, but sometimes excuses are reasons. It's like, you know, if you're missing key players, you say, well, no excuses. Well, you know what? You need key players in any sport to really be successful. Yeah, you know, last night, obviously no Alex Sarr, but that's not what that game was about. And I said this has nothing to do really with last night, but I've been in the NBA doing this now for 29 years, and when one team is on the second of a back-to-back and the other is not, it's a huge advantage. Now, it can work the other way. You know, we've had situations where the Wizards are the home team. They're not on the second of a back-to-back, and the other team is, and we have the advantage because you can travel first class and you can stay in the best hotels with mints on the pillows. I get it. But you know what? You're still getting to bed at 3:30 in the morning. And bottom line is, you know, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it is a duck, right? Well, you know, we started turning the ball over. Why were we turning the ball? I believe tired. I believe we ran out of gas.
Dave Johnson with us here on a Wizards Wednesday, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. The radio party can be heard here in Richmond, featuring Dave Johnson. And Dave, I want to ask you about Jameer Watkins, who finished his college career at Florida State, but he started it here in Richmond, won a championship with the VCU Rams in the Atlantic 10, had a ton of success in the ACC at Florida State, and was drafted by the Washington Wizards. Have you had a chance to hang out with Jameer, talk with Mir at all, and get to know him? Such a nice young man.
Not much. I mean, at training camp, before the season started, you know, had a chance to talk. And a very nice man, and very very nice young man, very you know, confident in his ability. He is you know, right now spending most of his time with the Capital City Go-Go. So we're not seeing him, even though the Go-Go in the same city and practice in the same building, we just don't see them as much. And obviously, he's not on the road. We've had a lot of road games, but. And that's, again, players now, this is the way it works in the NBA. You get the proper seasoning in the G League, and they can emerge. I think about the other night we played, you know, Ryan Rollins with the Bucks. You know, here's a player that we briefly had through a trade with the Warriors. The good thing about the G League, and the positive, if you will, about you know, drafting these young players, because, look, the Wizards have 10 players under 22 or under. 22 or under. Now, when I started doing this in 1997, that couldn't be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was players had to come out of college first. And yes, there were exceptions, but there were exceptions. Now it's the rule. But the positive is you get these young players and you have a chance to develop them because, you know what, the college development process, you know, that's a quick period of time. It's 3-4 years. When it was 3 or 4 years, you're not playing 82 games. You're playing 27 to 35 or whatever. And so now, you know, we're seeing more and more stories of guys that will develop into NBA players that, you know what, 30 years ago, they would have been lost to Europe. Because there wasn't a G League option. There wasn't the development that's going on now. And I was talking with our mental coach yesterday, and I don't think people have well, I think people appreciate it, but, you know, I think it's much better now for the young players coming into the league because there is so much support. Again, when I first started doing this, there was not the level of support there is now, and certainly not on the mental side. And think about it. Again, we can say, wow, what's there to be stressed about or whatever? You've got all this money. Money doesn't cure things. In other words, you put young people, these young athletes, in incredible pressure situations. You can pay them all the money in the world, but suddenly, you know, it's an 82-game schedule. You're in all kinds of cities. There's all kinds of things going on. So, you know, what I'm excited about is that you know, Jameer Watkins, we're going to see more of before the end of the year, I think, with the Wizards. You know, Will Riley last night was the bright spot. And every time we see Will Riley, I mean, he's a 19-year-old. And we're saying, you know what? And Glenn Consort says that, you know, 2 or 3 years, we might be saying that's the guy that really is coming out of this past year's draft. And that's a bold statement. But, you know, that's the NBA of today, where because these players are so young, the player you see in their rookie season likely will and hopefully will be so much better 2 or 3 years down the road. And that didn't used to be.
Dave, I read an article about a month ago. I haven't gotten to ask you about this. That John Wall joined the Wizards broadcast team. What's it been like with John Wall back?
Yeah, it's I've not had a lot of interaction. Again, it's we've been on the road, and it seems like he was actually in the studio last night with Monumental Sports Network. You know, John Wall was an important part, is an important part of our franchise still. You know, I think about, and I was asked this question about, you know game changing players we've had, you know, in terms of what they meant to the team, the city, et cetera. And you know, clearly, you know, Gilbert Arias is one, because that period of time, I know it's, you know, for younger listeners, it's a long time ago, that 2004-2007 period. I kid you not, we were on top of the city. I mean, the football team was not doing well. The Capitals, that was pre-Ovechkin. You know, the Nationals didn't even exist. And now, you know, we had this team that at one point was top of the Eastern Conference, and Gilbert Arias was making buzzer beaters. you know, John Wall comes in 2010, and just the excitement. And yes, unfortunately, his career will be. But what if he stayed healthy? And what if he and Bradley Beal stayed healthy? I'm not saying it would have been an NBA championship team, but I think about 2017, that big shot he made against the Celtics to force a Game 7 in the playoffs, where you know, on the way to the Eastern Conference, or getting closer to the Eastern Conference Final. And then really, since that point in 2017, he was never healthy as he could be. Beal was never, we could never get him on the court at the same time. So, you know, he was, the way he played so hard, that was part of his success, but he played so hard, that was, you know, part of his downfall, if you will, or if that's the right word, you know, because of injuries. So, you know, it's good to have him back embraced in the franchise, because the other part that people do need to know is while he was here playing and living in Washington, just a tremendous giver to the community. It was more than just money. He would go into the community. He would be with the kids. And so it wasn't just talk and it wasn't just money. It was actually his time, which, you know, and that's why one year, I'm trying to think of the year now, it was either 16 or 17, he won the NBA, whatever it's called, CARES Award. In other words,
the one that Antoine Jameson used to win every year.
Yeah, right. So, but this was for the whole league. It was just an example of all that he did. Because, you know, as people know the John Wall story, and you can Google it, it's out there. I mean, his upbringing was not an easy one. And certainly he is empathetic to people, especially young kids in difficult situations.
Dave, great stuff, man. Always appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for that story about John Wall. Always appreciate you joining the show.
Well, and boy, I appreciate being on today, because you have a big show. You got the VCU coach. I always love it when I hear names, and now it's Phil Martelli Jr. And it shows you how I'm getting older. Anyway, people are juniors and they're having success. So anyway, good stuff. And thanks for letting us on in Richmond. We appreciate the connection with all the basketball fans.
Absolutely. Dave Johnson, the radio party, the voice of the Washington Wizards, can be heard right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So head coach Dan Quinn just sat down at the podium to speak with the media ahead of today's practice. Today being Wednesday, December 3rd, the first injury report will be released after practice today. We'll bring it to you if it gets released before 3 p.m. I think it'll come out around 4, and I'm not expecting it to say full for Jaden Daniels. My take has been they will be extra cautious. They will hold him out this week, and then he'll play at least 3 more weeks. The Giants, Philly, Dallas. We'll see what happens with the Week 18 game against Philly. But I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. And here on the Commander's Corner, we wanted to take a listen to Dan Quinn at the podium.
You know, the game stung badly. Also showed the team, man, there was a lot of response to the next play. And that was something I've talked about with them quite a bit. Long drives on offense. You get set back, doesn't mean the drive's over. You go battle for it. And defensive stops in the fourth quarter. And that same response of next and not being pissed about it kind of applies to right now as well. And not letting a Sunday affect a Wednesday. That's wins and losses. And I loved the week of practice last week. Like, of course, that carried over into the game. And so that's, you know, kind of the energy that I'm looking for going back into practice again. It's easy with this group, man. They love one another. They love to compete. And so there's a hardness about them. As a coach, you can tell when a team has a look, you know, like they're ready for the next fight, if it has to go longer, whatever. And so I said they are, you know, like doing hard shit with hard people, mentally and physically. And that's what this week's about, man, like getting right back to it. It was my most favorite week of practice last week, just the energy they had, the you know, improvement that we made. And so now that's the chance to go do that again. And we'll dig in hard to do that.
For you, taking over the play call, is that something you missed? And do you feel it has maybe energized you in any way?
Missed, yes. Energized, no. Do I like it? Yes. But I would say energized during the game for sure. I would say like the other 6 days and like 21 hours. No, but the game part of it is like calling is a lot of fun. The players energize me. That's honestly the truth of it all. Why I love coaching. I like being around them. I like teaching. And so during the game, like I'm on the trip with them, you know, and so riding it with them. And I want to make sure I'm giving them every chance they can to play at their best.
Is it easier for you to take over that when you have, like, you know, you've built a lot of what you wanted to establish, some of what you wanted here? You have guys in the offensive staff, you know, head coaches over there. Is it easier for you to do something like that now than maybe it would have been, you know, just coming in as that?
Yeah, that's fair, John. And I think it's also accurate because there's other things that come across that you need your time and your attention. But then you're learning the staff, too. When you're a first-year coach, you're learning one another and how that routine goes. And so, like, our staff definitely grew tighter this year. And so now I'm definitely leaning in more on to others. And I think I even, you know, spoke with that with Nikki one other time to utilize this talented group of guys. And Joe's also been at the very front of that. We have a battle rhythm together that was easy to get into together. And Brian and David and other guys, you know, on the staff to do that, I definitely leaned in hard on them, which was definitely would have been harder earlier.
I know at Atlanta you had Kyle Flood and Bob Sutton kind of help out with some of it. Is that setup similar to sort of what you have going with Guardy and Brian Johnson and Joe here?
I say it's probably that times, you know, and I think that's probably true for our league in some ways, Nikki, that that's expanded, that's evolved. You know, if you'd asked me, is it the same as it was in 25, I would say certainly not. And that's a good thing, too. Like, I enjoy the game management, where we're at, the timeouts, when to use time, when to use clock. At the end, when it works, that's a good call. When it doesn't, you know, you're pissed. But as long as you're good with the process you went through to get there. This game had so many moments of even at the end of the game, you know, shot, it wasn't there, throw it out, still saves time for the field goal. Like, those were big moments. So, but yeah, Bob and others have been a part of that. But I'd say it's expanded more now. I think that's probably true in the NFL.
I'm going to ask a two-parter since he does it all the time and cheats. You mentioned on the Hard Knocks that you told your team that, you know, you guys lost the game, but you didn't feel they were lost anymore. What did you mean by that? And then for the defense, you know, where do you think they've made the biggest strides over the last couple weeks?
Okay, for the first part, I would say capturing standards together. I think that's what it's about, of, you know, the battle for it. I thought in an unusual sense, it was maybe our best group game still with a loss. So it's hard to say it was our best game because you had a loss, but I thought from a performance, if you didn't have that part, the performance side, I thought this was connected. This was a punt for field position. This was a getting a stop. This was making a play. So those were things that I liked. And I saw some people playing some of their best. I got for Samer still and Connerly. Those were two that really I thought elevated up. And that's what I want to see, like elevation and improvement. So that was the first part. And on the second part, can you repeat the second one?
Where the defense,
where does it make big strides? I think we had a ways to go, but I think playing really hard with less mistakes. I've always thought they were playing hard. And then mistakes, and here's a big play and that. So, like, I never had questioned that part of it. But having the ability to go fast as you can, but on that tightrope of making the right decisions. And so that's a big deal, and I think we're making progress in that way because I never questioned anybody's effort, and though I think we're going that hard, but staying on that tightrope of less mistakes, I think that's a big deal.
Coach, going up against a unique Vikings defensive scheme this week, is there anything different about how you and your offense go about preparing for Sunday?
Yes, you do have to. Some games are like that where there's more things to go through to prepare in different ways. It is kind of some of the fun parts of the NFL. This player can't ruin the game. The scheme is unique. How do you work that at practice? Sometimes when a team has similar schemes, you don't even use cards very often, just so you can get the same speed and the same matchups. And then in a game like this where there's some different looks, you want to make sure you have contingencies, go through things, and that's one of the challenges of it for sure.
Dan, you mentioned last week having one of your favorite weeks of practice and kind of pushing the guys to go hard. Obviously, you're focused on it right now and winning week to week, but also are those moments sort of good information for you to have for the future when you're thinking about guys, you know, being a long-term future to the Commanders?
For sure. And, although we're not going to have a winning record, like, that does not back off of, like, winning standards and habits and things that you want to do, like elite standards. I think of a guy like Jeremy Reeves, like, controlling the things he can, like, you want to talk about a guy who hustles? Like, that's not ever the case. And so when you see people who have exceptionally high standards for things, of course that rubs off. I even showed that to the team. Here's Zach, you know, becoming one of the leaders in all time of, you know, catching receptions at tight end. You're going to see him on the jugs today, tomorrow, the next day. Like, he doesn't get tired of those things that really matter and those standards. They're boring. They're, like, you know, monotonous and, like, oh, man, you don't ever think you have it. So, yeah, it matters a lot. The practices do. But it's also a lot of fun to compete together. And essentially, man, like, that's also what we do. Like, it's an awesome op for all of us to put out our best. And, like, that's my job, to help a player become, like, as good as they can be. And that's at Zach that year, or, you know, somebody in their first year. Like, that doesn't change.
That is the head coach, Dan Quinn, speaking to the media here. And, look, I do think that they put together a great week of practice after the bye week, had a great game plan, went out there and executed for the most part on both sides of the ball outside of, you know, Mariota's turnover. It was kind of the perfect game plan and execution. They just lost. But I agree with everything Dan Quinn's saying about how they set the standard last year. And this was the first time this year, at least in a losing effort, that they reached that standard. And they showed battle to the final play. He said we're not lost anymore. And I think that's important, because I do feel like this group came together. And that's exactly what I want to see as a fan base, right? I want to see this team play hard and lose in the final second, because the wins don't matter anymore. We're already eliminated, and the losers get us better draft position. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see us blown out at all. I want to see us being in games in the fourth quarter. But I'm fine with us losing, because this season's already a wash. What do you want to see against Minnesota and every game before the end of this season for the Commanders? 833-804-0910. The Richmond Commander coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.